James, the creative director for Royal Decca and the host of the Skate to Create podcast. My brother Daniel is not here today, but we still have a great show. He actually was on the call whenever we were talking to our guest that we're about to get into. But first, we wanted to say that this episode is brought to you by Royal Decca. And Royal Decca, we've mentioned it before, it's actually the company that we have started where we were doing design, we're doing media, and it's one of the production houses that we've used to not only do this podcast, but produce other podcasts as well. Some that you've probably heard of, maybe some other ones that you haven't yet. But anyway, first off, I really want to thank you guys. Because of you guys, we've been able to do this podcast and enjoy really awesome feedback. You guys have replied back to us via email or on social media, and we love it, man. It's amazing. I really had no clue that we had so many listeners in all of these different countries. It's sick. Can't thank you guys enough. And we're going to keep doing it, you know? There's a lot of things that have happened to us over the course of a year. And, you know, we started this podcast, I think it was September of 2014. And since then, it's been crazy, dude. Like, we have all, you know, when I speak of all of us, I'm talking about Travis, our producer and audio engineer. I'm talking about Daniel, my brother, and myself. We have all, and then even Vincent, our intern, we've all gotten jobs and had to take on a little bit more responsibility since starting the podcast. You know, my brother Daniel, he got a really good job, and Travis got a really good job. I got a good job, and it was all because of the podcast. I wouldn't say all of it, but, you know, the podcast definitely set some things in motion where we were motivated, you know, we were highly charged to actually make some moves in life, and we did it. So, you know, in that way, I credit the podcast, and it's been really sick. So the reason I say all of that is not just to tell you guys what we've been up to, but it's the reason why we haven't been able to put out the show the way we really wanted to. You know, we didn't have a lot of time. And even in addition with all of the jobs that we've got, we picked up some other, you know, friends, and we've been shooting video and working with a nonprofit, an awesome nonprofit in Dallas called Four Down Project. And there'll be more news on that later. They're actually involved with a really big contest that's going down October 17th here in Dallas. It's the D-Town Throwdown. It's just a sick street contest and a bunch of other stuff. Look it up. D-Town Throwdown, October 17th. And, you know, we've been getting involved with a lot of things in Dallas, and it's been so rad. So this is a really long and really roundabout apology for us not putting out content as often as we would have liked to. We've had a lot of guests that have come on the show, and we weren't able to put out their episodes as quickly as we wanted to, which was a real, real fucking drag for a lot of people. And we're so sorry for anyone that has recorded an episode with us and we haven't been able to put it out yet. But we are putting them out. And we're, you know, this first season of Skate to Create is these first episodes. And then we're going to come out with the next season with some more fresher recordings that are going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. Today we are talking to one of my favorite cinematographers, one of my favorite skate filmers and editors. He works for Nike SB. He has done a lot in skateboarding and a lot of training. Actually, he does In Focus, which is a series that the Ride Channel puts out on YouTube, instructing filmers on, you know, the basics, even some intermediate and advanced stuff. And he has a part of that along with a lot of other filmers that just break it down for you. They show you what's up and give you really specific instructions as far as how to be a better filmer. And it's something I've really appreciated, and I know a lot of other people have too. So yeah, I was so hyped on this interview. Like, I mean, I was really nervous, and I'm sure you can tell. So thank you guys for sticking with us. Let's just get into the show that we have today.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. How are you today, man?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. Just had a kind of like a quarter of the day was work, filming, and the rest of the day has been kind of just doing slappies and, you know.
Having fun. Awesome, man.
Yeah, having fun.
So cool. It sounds like you're out and about right now. Where are you up to right now?
I am actually. I came to skate the Barracks with Daniel Shimizu and see you train.
Nice. Oh, yeah. So hopefully we're not pulling you away, you know, too bad right now.
No, not at all.
Cool. I mean, we did want to talk to you, Jason, because we feel like our audience are people that are looking for inspiration and motivation to get out there and do something. You know, they're probably passionate about skateboarding, but we really want to encourage people to start a project or business. So before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you do now?
Yeah, my name is Jason Hernandez. I'm a videographer for Nike SB, and I'm also an editor. And I guess I can mention that me and my parents also have a company called Easy Handle, and we make handles and we make dollies.
Right. And so you say it's a family-owned business. I mean, I know your dad helped you with, like, the design and the manufacturing with it, right?
Yeah, it just happened seamlessly because he retired from work, from his job he'd been at for a long time. And I think I just watched Ty's video he had put up of Dale Angel, which was all done with, like, a lot of dolly work, and I was like, oh, it looks really rad. It'd be really cool to get into this. And I knew he couldn't stay still for too long, and it was perfect timing because I'd asked him, you know, hey, you want to help me make a dolly? And he was ready, basically, to do something, do any sort of project. And then he built me a dolly, and I took it out a bunch. And then I think I had a trip coming up, and I was like, oh, is there a way to make it, like, lighter? Can I travel with it? And we worked on another one, and then that one was one that I could, like, kind of was travel-friendly. Took that, I don't know, I took it to Europe or something, and then came back, and I'm like, let's make it lighter, like, what can we do? And basically kind of kept going through the steps, and then all of a sudden we had one that was real compact, real light, and then someone saw me with another filmer, I forget who, and they wanted one, and I went up to my dad, and I'm like, I think people might want to buy these, and maybe we should try and sell them, and kind of went from there. So He doesn't, like, he's not a cameraman, and my mom isn't either. Like, they don't really know much about cameras. They just, he has the passion for making things, and then I kind of know what I want, and I think I know what other people want, so I kind of design it, and we sit there and kind of go over things. So.
Okay, so, I mean, so your dad was working, and then he basically needed a project to come up, and you kind of gave him a prop, so, right?
I mean, he didn't need anything. He didn't need a project. He just can't sit still. You know, I guess he's kind of like me, where if you sit around for more than a couple hours or even a day or two, like he wanted to do something. And he has we have a really big workshop. He has a big workshop, and I mean, even though he retired, he still did a custom cabinetry on the side. And once he retired, then I think his custom cabinetry kind of led into turning his wood shop into kind of like a machine shop. So
you basically kind of grew up around, you know, him making things.
I did. That's how I got my allowance, kind of, was like mowing the lawn and working with him in the garage whenever he'd have a project, whenever he'd have something like a kitchen to do on the side from his normal job. I would kind of be like a lineman. He'd kind of put me to work for a couple hours, and I would do the kind of grunt work, you know, that maybe he didn't want to do. And that's how I kind of made money, or, you know, made my allowance, I guess.
Okay. And then, speaking of normal job, can we talk a little bit about your past whenever it actually came up where you had a job lined up and a pretty, you know, stable job, what a lot of people would consider, you know, stability and kind of one of those 40-year gigs. I mean, can you talk about that and then what transpired after that?
Yeah, my dad worked for LA Unified School District, and he worked there for, I think, in the end, like over 25 years or something. And so after I graduated high school, he had got me kind of like not an in, because you have to take a test and you have to pass the test, but there was some sort of pull that he had to get me further ahead in the test, I guess, to take it faster. And once I took the test, luckily I passed, and then I had the opportunity to work there and go on like a probation for 6 months. And if you pass probation in 6 months, then you have this job, and you have a union job, and, you know, most of those guys there were going to be there like the rest of their lives, you know, until they retired. And so I got it. I finished probation, and then I think maybe, I don't know, a month or two later, then I had the opportunity to go on a filming trip out of the country. And this is one of those jobs where, you know, you can't, there's no like, oh, hey, I need to leave for a month, is that cool? Or, hey, you know, like, you don't really, I didn't have that opportunity to do that. There wasn't the type of job. So I was like, all right, pretty much, you know, see you later to the job, or don't go on this trip. So.
Tough decision, right?
I mean, no, like right away in my mind, I'm like, nope, okay, cool, I'm going to go on this trip. And then, of course, you know, I told my parents, and my dad was pretty, you know, he was definitely angry, because it's stability, you know. It is, you know, like he was there at the time that I left, so he knew I was leaving something really stable. But I guess he couldn't stop me, I guess. You know, not that he wanted to, so.
Well, Jason, I mean, this brings me back to kind of a point in your story to where I can kind of pull it back to the beginning. So you obviously had a love for skateboarding. I mean, like, when did that all kind of start? When did you get introduced to skateboarding? Like, how did that kind of come up?
I'm not exactly sure the age. I'm pretty certain right, like, at 10. And I'm the only child, so I had no one to kind of steer me in the direction of, like, hey, this is cool, or, you know, like, this video is cool, or these skaters are cool. So my mom bought me my first board from a swap meet, and like some Bruce Lee ninja guy on the bottom of it. And that was like the first board I ever had. And then I think for so long I had like such a really like weird outlook on skating, because it was whatever she could like kind of feed me, you know. I think she bought me skate videos, like VHS tapes from the swap meet still. Like, she found some. So I grew up on these really weird like skate videos that were just so odd. And then I think I finally made a friend who skated like years and years later. And I think I saw my first video with that person. And then I kind of just went from there. So.
Okay. Dang. And then you, I mean, we know this from hearing other interviews that you've done, but you basically started to film Daniel, right?
Yeah, Daniel's like the key. Daniel and my friend Ryan Posebon, they're both the key, because after when I skated, you know, as time went on, like I got sponsored, and then I filmed the video part, and then I was gonna have my first ad. I got hurt really bad. That turned into like a bad ankle surgery, and that turned into me not being able to really skate the way I want to. And then the whole time I knew Daniel, and the whole time Daniel was getting better and better. And then once I got hurt, of course he kept getting better. And then I was able to kind of push around and skate. My friend Ryan had a VX1000. I borrowed his VX1000, and then I never gave it back. And then I filmed Daniel, and luckily I would just end up filming him for all his video parts for Foundation. Mm-hmm. And so that turned into me getting asked if I wanted to go to Europe, because I'd filmed a few things, you know, a good amount of stuff with him.
And so what was going through your mind at this point? I mean, are you thinking that this is kind of something you want to do? I mean, or is it still, you're just kind of waiting to see where it goes?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get like super off subject, but like even, okay, so before that, I had this weird little, I don't know, maybe a year, half a year, not probably about a year, where I worked at World Industries. And that was my very first thing ever in skating. I don't even know if I've really ever talked about that much, but I worked at World Industries. I actually think the same Ryan Posebon, the same guy, I think he kind of got me a job through World. He might have been the rep there. And it was great. It was cool. I got to meet all these rad people, like Chris Cole, you know, and I think he was probably one of the cooler ones I met. And then that led to me going on a couple trips, and a couple people on those trips weren't so friendly to me, because I was a young kid, you know, and I'm sure I'm dumb and young, and some of the guys are a lot older. So it ended up that they fired me from World Industries. And then that kind of turned me to getting that job at LA Unified. So I'm kind of telling the story in pieces here, I'm sorry.
No worries.
But then that led me to LA Unified, and then that kind of, then the Foundation thing happened, so.
Okay,
hopefully,
and
that
so.
Makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And so, you know, whenever you basically went on that trip, you made a decision, you know, that you're at that crossroads in your life where you had the cushy job or you go for this unknown, you know, unknown path. What happened then? Like, how did you basically end up getting to do all these videos with Transworld and John Holland?
So it was a snowball. I mean, when I left the job at LA Unified, I didn't exactly know what I was doing. Like, there was no security on, like, hey, you come to Europe, you're going to get a job at Foundation. I didn't know that. I think I thought in the back of my mind, like, hey, if I wow these guys and I get along with them, then I guess I'm going to assume that they would want to hire me. Luckily, that happened. They hired me, or they, you know, hired me to stay on board with them until the end of That's Life. And I worked on That's Life. And I feel like something else happened after that where I was working with them still. And Ewan Bowman calls me and says, I'm going to be leaving Transworld. Do you think that you'd want to work there? I just thought, well, that's a no-brainer. That's like, you know, I mean, I don't even think I really knew Ewan all that well. And for him to call me, I was so shocked. I was like, yeah, of course. Like, what do I got to do, you know? And then it all hit me. I had met John Holland prior to that, like, way, you know, I don't know how long ago, during In Bloom, because I knew Chris Cole from working at World Industries. So I met John Holland one night randomly, and of course I knew who he was, and I was like, you know, I was trying to be on my best filming behavior, you know, or whatever that means. I just wanted to, like, get a good angle and, you know, basically make him stoked on whatever I was doing. And I guess he'd remember me from then, and then that was, like, I guess my foot in the door into, you know, meeting with John. And then we went on one trip together, John and I, and we went with Drehobl and Trujillo. And then from that trip, that just turned into, hey, do you want to go, you want to work here? Like, do you want to work here? Do you want to go, you want to film a part with Drehobl?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm I don't even know how old I am. I have a really bad memory, so I don't know how, like, what year this is, but whatever year it was, I'm, this is a young kid, and, you know, super green, and I am going to go up to Berkeley and film withdrawal. Like, okay, cool. This guy who's a lot older than I am, like, I'm wondering how this is going to work out, and luckily he's the raddest dude. He was so cool to me, and it went from there.
And so, Jason, our listeners, you know, are really going to get the benefit of this, because I feel like you probably did something for all of these people to want to work with you. If you could narrow it down, what do you think it was? Like, what do you think the reason was that people wanted to give you these chances?
You know, I'm not. I wish I had like a good answer for that. I don't know. I think that I have a problem. I think that I don't mind like putting whatever I'm doing, whatever's important to me, on the back burner for the project. So whenever a video comes up, or whenever, you know, someone's in this video or whatever, like, I'm willing to do like as much as I can and whatever it takes to kind of like make this person look good and like make the project that I'm working on look good. So I think that maybe people saw that I was passionate, I guess, or just, you know, really down for the cause, I guess you could say. And I think that's what maybe, like, kind of, you know, shines through or something, is that they know that I'm down, I think.
Right. I mean, you freaking gave up your job for something that you were passionate about.
Yeah.
And those things right there show it in your everyday work. You know, and so especially if you're starting something, if you're passionate about it, it's going to work out if you keep on putting that, you know, foot forward in everything you do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was it. I'm hoping that was it.
Well, I mean, I think it's like a really good thing for maybe someone that is looking to build a relationship with people so that he can maybe break into the industry. I think those things are good to hear, so... you know, so they can kind of know what to work towards, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before, I think, to a lot of people, or, like, you know, anyone who asks, and I hate to say it, I mean, I think it does involve a bit of luck, but it also involves a lot of who you know. You know, I think who you know really helps out, and I think if I've given advice to any up-and-coming kid, it's typically... if this is what you want to do, like, if you want to be a skateboard filmmaker, then surround yourself with people who skateboard, and surround yourself with, this is going to sound weird, but, you know, try and get around the people who are on the up and coming or better, you know? I mean, I think fortunately for me, it's going to sound really weird. I didn't have like a set crew when I like started, kind of like when I started wanting to be a filmmaker. So I was able to adapt to any crew for the video we were working on. And if it's like, all right, here, these are our five guys, then I'm going to give these five guys, like, my 100%. So I think that if you can kind of do that, if, you know, if you want to work for Element, then, I don't know, figure out how you can hook up with someone who has a connection to Element and go stay at the camp or something and get in there somehow, you know, basically just weasel your way in, make an impression, and keep going forward.
What do you think that being able to work with all those different, you know, styles and personalities did for you as far as, you know, being a skate cinematographer?
I think it helps out with just, I think it helps out with understanding the different personalities of everybody. So how do you cater to a 19-year-old kid? How do you cater to a 40-year-old guy? You know, what do you got to do to basically get a trick out of him, kind of? I mean, do you act like you don't want to film, and do you act like all you want to do is have fun and party with them? Then I guess that's what you got to do, and then you learn how to get a trick out of them that way, or, you know, get a part out of them that way. So I don't know. I guess reading people.
Yeah, totally. I remember you, an interview I heard, you were talking about how you approached filming Grant Taylor differently than everybody else, and, you you know, the reasons for that. So, yeah, I think that definitely translates in your work, man, because that allows you to get the best out of people, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you have the – it's funny. I think it was easier when I was younger, because I noticed it's getting more difficult for me now that I'm getting older, because I'm letting myself have a life now. And I think that I'm noticing that it's like kind of, it's harder for me to do that now. But I think that when you're younger, you tend to not necessarily, I mean, I don't want to sound like a dick, but you don't really have a life. Your life is what you're doing, you know? And if that's the case, then you can kind of manipulate anything to work towards your end goal, which is like, you know, making the best film you want to make, I guess.
Well, I mean, Jason, I think in a sense of you, if you see some passion, a kid passionate about something, they're going to be showing you the work ethic. You don't want to have to bring someone along. So if someone's always there as passionate about something, their work ethic's going to show.
Yeah, definitely. And that's another way too. If you want to work for somebody, like, you know, don't be afraid to pull out your camera and don't be afraid to ask how you want to be filmed or you know what the other filmer is doing. You know, ask questions about those things, because in the end, if you are going to be giving your footage to someone else to cut, then for me, I know that if someone's like on my session or whatever and they are another camera guy, either A, ask me, or B, don't ask me and just get as much as you can, shoot as much as you can. And, you know, we'll go from there. Like, that'll, like, impress me. If you ask me, like, oh, hey, where do you want me to shoot this from? Like, what are you doing? Like, that will impress me and, like, make me, you know, make me excited, I guess.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I want to switch gears just a little bit, Jason. I know we only have a few more minutes with you, but can we talk about adapting and kind of how, I mean, I'll just say that there's probably people out there that say that you're kind of like the ambassador for HD, for example. And
that's crazy.
Popular, right? I mean, right? It wasn't that popular, and you were saying, hey, I think we should go in this new direction. This is what I'm doing with it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I've never heard that. but that, thank you. I don't know. I get bored. I can only point it that direction. I get bored, and I'm gonna get hated for this, but I was bored of the VX. Like, I really was. I felt at that time there's only so much I was gonna do with it, and only so much I could do with it. So I got a VX 2000 because it had a zoom ring, and I wanted to zoom that way. And then I knew that that could lead me to other things in the future, because actual cinema lenses, you zoom with a ring. You don't usually use a rocker like a VX or VX 2000. So the whole HD thing just happened naturally, because I was like, oh, this is better. Like, this is better. And I would like to progress. I think skateboarding should look better. Like, why not? Like, I really like skateboarding. I like filming it. I want it to look as cool as possible. I want it to look beautiful. And, you know, of course people want to say, like, skating should be gritty, it's rough, it's, you know, it's this, it's that. But for me, it was only natural. Like, it should go forward, you know. Like, we're not all still riding, like, copers and, you know, weird shaped boards and no noses. I mean, some people still do, but we progress. You ride double tails, and your boards are specific shapes now for certain things. So it's, I don't know, it was only natural. Why not go HD? It was also, I think that it was a challenge, you know? I felt like you put the fisheye on the VX1000, you get in there, you know it's going to look cool, like great colors, it's going to sound rad, all those things. But with HD, everything changes, you know? Like, you're filming in a rectangle now, and the body is not a rectangle, so you have to be, like, way more on point, and now you have more depth of field and, you know, all those things like that can help just make things look more cinematic too.
Totally. And, you know, I just wanted to say, like, the fact that you would come out with a lot of videos helping people make that transition. I mean, I appreciated it definitely as someone that, you know, was trying to find more information from people that I respected on, you know, how they use those cameras and stuff. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm willing to, like, talk to anybody. I can be a nerd and talk about cameras all day.
Totally. Well, we won't make you talk about cameras, but we did want to talk a little bit more about the Easy Handle.
Yeah, sure.
And Easy Dolly, because that seems like another step with this Easy Handle venture. Was kind of like another way to go into the unknown by, you know, by developing this entrepreneurial, you know, business with an actual product. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on with it now, kind of day to day?
Yeah, it's I don't think a lot of people really realize it. I mean, I guess simply put, I'm the face of it, I guess you could say. But in reality, it's not me, you know, in a shop making these handles or anything. Like, all of that goes to my dad. He makes everything, you know. I go over there, we hang out, we talk for hours and days on end, and we come up with designs and we scrap designs. So it came about mainly because I got bored of a normal video HD camera, and I got a Mark II, and I didn't have any way to hold it, and I wanted to film with it because I instantly thought, I was like, oh, like this will take the place of the massive extreme fisheye that we use on the video camera. Like, all right, now I can have the smaller camera and it'll be easier to chase people around, and if it gets hit, it's not a big deal. But I had no way to hold it, so then boom, I'm like, all right, Dad, how do we do this? And it was literally just by chance that it kind of came about. I didn't think that we would even be selling it, but once we had the first one going, and I realized, like, okay, this really does feel kind of like a smaller camera now. Like, it doesn't feel like the big HVX with extreme fisheye. Like, damn, this is rad. I think this could be good. I think I showed a couple people, and then the same thing happened. They're like, how do I get one? Like, we would like one. So it literally went kind of by chance. I never even thought that we'd sell them. And then we made...
What were the next steps at that point?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What were the next steps, you know, from that point?
I think we were always just kind of playing it by ear, because we made a run of, I don't know, let's say like 50. I think those took off pretty quick. And then it was literally just like, okay, I think this can actually happen. And I think we just literally just kept making more and more runs. And then I wanted to work on a newer version. And then the version 2 came out. So it was, and it also has to do with my dad needing something to do. So once the version 1 came out and I knew that I thought I had a better design, he was instantly ready to, like, make the number 2 basically, and to give people, like, a better handle than we thought the first one was. So,
it's awesome to make stuff, right?
I mean, yeah, it's great. It's really cool when you go somewhere and I see a kid with it, and I'm like, whoa, like, I'm in Europe right now, and this kid has our handle. Like, that's really rad. Like, that's really cool. And, I don't know. It's like, it's really flattering that they've chosen our product over the other products, you know?
Totally.
I know other products are a lot cheaper than ours, and I get it. Like, I get why you would buy the cheaper one and everything. So it's really cool when they support us.
Yeah, totally, man. And, you know, the work that you've done in your career, I think, is a big reason, you know, why. And of course, you're just a really awesome dude. And thank you again.
Thank you.
You know, so much for doing the show. We want to respect your time, and we didn't get a chance to talk about Redirect or anything like that, which hopefully we can do that sometime in the future. But
if you want to keep going, we can. There's still people here, so I still have a way in. So if you want to, it's totally fine. I just didn't know if anyone was going to be leaving, then I'd have no way in. So if you want to ask a couple more, that's okay, for sure.
Okay. Well, okay. So yeah, I mean, we just wanted to know. I mean, thank you for being so generous. So we wanted to know. What was it like being a part of that Redirect project? And what did you think about, you know, your video, like that video was amazing. We loved it. But what was your take?
Another one of those really rad experiences where, like, the thing with Europe, like, hey, do you want to do this? Yes, of course I want to do it. Like, I've always wanted to use this camera. I've always wanted, mainly just use the camera and just learn. I want to learn, you know, like, I've been on commercial shoots where you have a camera and it's on, where you're on a tripod and you're locked off and then you have people basically doing everything for you. And I've always wondered, like, what would it be like to have an actual cinema camera and, like, it's in my lap. And now I get to, you know, do everything I want to do with it. So that was amazing. I was, unfortunately, like, huge creative block in my brain. Like, I did not know what to do. That idea was an idea I had, like, a while back and, like, kind of, like, right in the beginning of the project. And I didn't think it was good enough. And I ended up having to, like, kind of fall back on it. So I would have loved to have had a better idea. I think it was great. It was a really cool experience.
It was rad.
I mean, the toys, you know, like playing with the movie was, that was just as rad as the camera to me, in my mind. It's like, I like tools, you know, I like tools that'll help you film better or, you know, help you get a shot better or get a shot that you never could have got without this tool or with, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. It was really neat. And then also to meet, I mean, it opens up doors because I got to meet certain people at Red and I still talk with them and, you know, where will that go? I don't know, but it's really cool. It's a really rad door that opened up. So I can't thank the Barracks more for including me on that one.
Yeah. We had Beagle on the show and he was telling us, you know, that they actually had classes for you guys.
Yeah.
Cameras and stuff, so, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, they had, I think they actually named the class because of the classes they gave us, like a crash course. So, I mean, we got, like, what we learned would cost a normal person, I think it was, like, somewhere around, like, $1,500. I don't know if you want to quote me on that one, but whatever it was, the classes we got were free. And it was, like, a crash course, like, 8 hours a day. And, dude, that's awesome. Like, that right there in itself is, we got a camera for a month for free. We got this class for free. I mean, I don't know. It's really, really cool. We should have been paying them.
And you got to create this awesome, I mean, like, you know, all those videos collectively were amazing to go through because you all had your own spin. You all had your own, you know, style of shooting and then the stories you were telling with visuals, like, I mean, it was really awesome for someone that appreciates film or videos and stuff to see what you guys would all do with it. And if you had to name a favorite entry, what do you think it would be?
Favorite entry? Well, I think I just figured Russell would win. So favorite? Shoot. Okay. From the moment that Collins played, I love Collins like right away. Like, Collins, to me, the music, what the music does to create, like, kind of, like, the energy level that kind of builds you up was really cool. I really like a lot of stuff that Collins does. I like it a lot, which is really odd because I tend to like really fast-paced things. Like, I almost have, like, ADD when it comes to skating. Like, I want to, like, have, like, a pace going really quickly, and I feel like Collins the opposite, and I really like his stuff. So, Collins is awesome. John Hollins was... He kept the pace up like really fast, and Squints just bled through the screen. Like, I felt like I knew him instantly. So, Johns, Collins, I don't know. Those two, and Russell's, of course, Russell's, but I think those two were really stood out a lot to me.
Awesome. Yeah, we loved them all, dude. They were all rad, and, you know, I especially love what you did with that. I don't know, those little things that you put in there, the coffee mug, the close up shots, the music track that you picked. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
So, I just try to not nerd out super hard on all this stuff, but anyway,
that.
Yeah, too late for that. So, Jason, so we just have two more questions for you.
Okay.
If you, you know, you've been through our show, who do you think we should interview next?
Try John Holland. Try Russell. Those guys, I mean, John has so much history. John could, God.
Yeah, I actually reached out to John, so he hit me up. We should be having him on soon.
Oh, awesome. I mean, he's my mentor. I mean, I pretty much, without that guy, I don't know. I mean, for 4, 5, 6 years, however long I was there, I mean, it's funny to think, but when I was at Transworld and we would make a video, it was in Oceanside. And I lived in Rosemead, or I lived in, I don't know where I lived at the time, but I lived somewhere in Los Angeles. And it was crazy, because I would drive there and not have a place to stay. So I'd stay in the editing room of Transworld. And so would John, but John lived in Oceanside. But he would still do it. We would stay there for a month. And there was no showers there. So it would be like, hey man, it's that time of the week. Like, I have one shower a week. Like, I come to your house, John? Yeah, come on over. Like, and we would literally like sleep there on the couch. I mean, that's pretty, like, to not even like really know John all that well, and then all of a sudden, you know, make a video and then get spit into that environment and like not ever argue ever or like fight or anything, and always pretty much get along. He's a man. Oh, a ton to John. So.
Yeah, it seems like a rad boss.
I mean, yeah, like straight up, he was my boss. He would never like let me say it, but I thought of him 100% completely as a boss, and I don't think I ever heard him ever one time tell me, "Hey, you should go do this," you know. And not that is like really cool, but he just, I don't know, he had a really amazing vibe to him. I got super lucky that I got to be under him and like learn everything that he knew.
It's so sick, dude. And, man, thank you so much, Jason.
Yeah, definitely.
If we could direct people to check out some of your work, you know, where would they go?
Oh, that's funny. I don't even know. I only have a Vimeo page, and I don't even know what the Vimeo page is. I guess I never really got into YouTube. So, I mean, if you just go on Vimeo and, I guess, type in my name, you'll find some of my stuff there. Or on HeyFilmness is my Instagram handle.
Right.
Yeah, well, we're good online with the social media, man. So with your show notes, you're going to have links to all the stuff right to you, man.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
Yeah. And so thank you again for your time. If you could leave our audience, I mean, these are people that are, again, trying to possibly venture out into the world, into their careers, and start a project or something. If you could leave them with some parting advice, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, let's see. I guess it's simple. If you really love doing something and you really think that you want to, you know, take a stab at it professionally, do not half-ass it. Like 110, 120%, full speed ahead. Drop whatever you're doing, whatever you can drop, and just go for it. Like, don't look back. And I don't know, you know, if you have a chance to meet someone that you want to impress the hell out of them. Like, do whatever you can, you know. Don't go overboard, but just basically, you know, especially if you want to be a cameraman, be creative, live with your camera, know it, and understand everything that, like, understand everything about it, because it's your tool, so it's how you're going to tell your story. So.
Amazing.
Just go for it.
Thank you so much. We can't say thanks enough.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
We're definitely going to be in touch soon, man. Thanks for taking the time out at the barracks.
Cool. Well, glad it went well, and you guys have a good night. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.